Hopefully that moved you to maybe count your blessings, amen. Just consider how blessed we truly are as a people, as God's people, and it's a blessing to be a child of God and to be able to see things from that perspective, amen. Look over at Daniel chapter number 12, if you would please, today. Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel chapter number 12. Being the first I guess message of the new year, in a sense of a Sunday. We already met on Wednesday, amen, but it is, it's good, amen. I'm excited about the new year, excited about the different things that are going on, the opportunities with the youth and with different ones we're seeing God work on in our church and through each of us as we grow and as we have a bunch to look forward to. I do want to at some point put out I'd like to be able to do like a monthly kind of like planning meeting, just so that everybody can kind of be a part of things as far as what's coming up. And we got a lot going on. We need to talk a lot about the tent meeting we got coming up in May, and just all the planning side of that. I've wondered if the best way to do that would be a person to person type meeting or a Zoom. We do still have that capability to do Zoom meetings and things like that. But if you want to be a part of something like that where we could talk through planning side and maybe even be tasked with different things, if you'll just let me know what would work better for you. I mean, it could be, it would probably have to be in the evening at some point. It could be late evening. It could be 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. It could be 1 in the morning if you want. Amen. I'm game for whatever. But whatever works the best for most people along those lines, that would be good. And if we do Zoom, you can stay in your own house and just kind of Zoom on in, talk through things. But I do want to put that together and give opportunity there for different ones to be a part of that, which may not be able to if it was maybe in church. Or if that works, that's fine too. But just looking for some feedback on that. I'd like to do that each month and get that going. That would be a blessing. Amen. Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel 12 verse number 1. Daniel 12 and in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up." That's Michael the archangel. Amen. "The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as was never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Of course, that's the book of life. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this portion of Scripture. I pray you give us great understanding in it. I pray, God, that you would encourage us with it. And a lot going on here in this text, this prophecy that was written by Daniel, and as the Holy Spirit led him to, and then it was sealed. It was sealed unto the end. And we thank you for that. God, we believe that we're close to that time frame in these last days today. And we just pray, God, that you would give us great understanding and wisdom throughout this message. Encourage us with it. And we'll thank you, Father, for what you do throughout this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot going on in this text. Not going to preach completely through all these things, but I want to draw attention to that fourth verse and the fact that there is a book that is sealed and speaks of the time frame that was just spoken about here in this text, even before chapter 11, but in Daniel 12, 1 through 3. And the chapter, verse number 4 actually gives us a kind of a detailing of what this time frame will look like. And it says, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." I think we're close to that time frame today, man. We'll come back to that thought in just a minute, but let's look over at Revelation chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 5, we're going to find a book in the book of Revelation that no man on earth could open. It was sealed, and yet there was someone in heaven that could open that book, amen. And I believe through study of Scripture that the book that's sealed is this book spoken of in Daniel chapter number 12. And that Daniel spoke to, and referring to the end times. There's so much there in that first three verses there. But whatever Daniel saw, whatever he saw concerning the end times, he was told to seal that thing up. And then once this book in Revelation 5 is opened, then that seems to set in order the events of the tribulation period and that seven sealed book. And so I believe those to be one and the same as far as the books are concerned. And we find here in Revelation chapter 5 and in verse number 1. And by the way, we're not far from these events beginning to unfold. And it's just exciting that we live in the day that we do. In Revelation chapter 5, though, verse number 1, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." So it's sealed. Verse number 4. "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon." And they sung, let's go ahead and jump down to verse number 9, just so we'll, for sake of time here. You could read that whole chapter, but verse number 9 says this, "And they sung a new song saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.'" And so we know by this point we're looking at in heaven, and we know the one on the throne is Jesus Christ. And we know that at this particular point in this text that there are those surrounding the throne, potentially even the those from the saints of this church age, if you hold to that pre-tribulational rapture. And we find that in this text that they're looking for someone to open that book and to loose these seals. And it says that no man was able, but there was one found able. And verse number 9 talks about the one who is worthy. The one who's sitting on the throne is worthy to take that book and to open the seals thereof. And it says, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." I'm glad that the gospel message of Jesus Christ isn't just for the people of Israel. I'm glad it's for all people. I'm glad it's not a book, it's not a message that's just for a particular color or creed or economic status or anything else or time frame. I'm glad it's for all people and all kindreds and all time frames and all nations and everyone, amen. I'm glad that God actually is for all, amen, and that we all have an opportunity to receive what the Lamb did for us on the cross of Calvary and shedding his blood. And I'm glad that when I'm witnessing the people, I don't have to check out this or check out that so I can see if they're actually one who could receive salvation. I'm glad that all can receive it. And if you're here today and God's pricking your heart concerning your sin and for the fact that you're lost and undone and in need of a Savior, I'm glad today that I can preach to you and tell you that if you're willing to repent and turn from your sins and look unto Jesus, you can be saved today, amen. That is a blessing. And we find in this text, it says in verse number 10, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, thousands and thousands, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and I and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever." Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ, the beautiful, wonderful Lamb of God, is the one that's able to open the seals and loose this book. And I believe it to be that book spoken of there in Daniel chapter number 12 that was sealed until the end. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Well, the description once again that was given to life on earth prior to these seven seals being opened, prior to this book being opened by the Lamb of God, is that many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. I want to look at that little phrase, "many shall run to and fro," but know this, if there's ever been a time frame on earth that knowledge is accessible by more people than ever, it is today. with the new AI thing and all that, where you can go into your search engine and ask a question and it just formulates and all that and populates with answers and all that. And it's tapped in, whether it's through Google search engine or Apple or somebody else, it's tapped into all these different knowledge sources. All the libraries of the world are being tied together. It's not just now you can go into one library and search and then you have to go to some other library because that book is there. No, it's all being scanned. It's all being brought in to that World Wide Web. And today you can research not just knowledge through the encyclopedias. There used to be encyclopedia salesmen that would try to come to your house and sell you a big old huge volume set of books. And now you can barely even give them things away, those boat anchors that they are, because now you can just get online and look. And I know some people like to read a book and all that, but you can only carry so many books with you. But if you got access to the web, you got access to so much information. If something's ailing you, you can get on there and find how many diseases you have and all kinds of neat things, amen. You can find all kinds of stuff out on the internet, amen. It's just absolutely amazing. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you like what you find on there or not, I know there's a lot of false info, but there is a lot available to us today. If you want to find out your genealogy and look back and through some ancestry website, there's sites today that compile all the birth records and death records and marriage records and all the name change records and all that and all this history. You can go on there and you can start tracing your lineage back. And there's just a wealth of information available at our fingertips now on our phone or on our computer or whatever else you use. Truly today we could look at and say knowledge has increased. If you want to find stats about something or learn about this country or that country or whatever, today's the day. Knowledge has increased. And you could do it right from your own home or wherever you find yourself at. Just pull out that little device and start letting your fingers do some typing and walking. Or maybe if you don't want to use your finger, you can speak to it. Amen. And before you know it, that knowledge is there. Knowledge has increased today more than at any other time in history of this world. Amen. Truly, that is true for this day. Now, the part that we want to look at, it's not just that, although that is a very important marker for the day that we live. I want to look at this little phrase here today. Many shall run to and fro. If you'll do a study in your Bible on that little phrase, running to and fro, you're going to find some interesting things. Can I say that people today are running to and fro? They're running about anything, and they're running for anything. They're running over anything. People are just running around. They're scurrying about. They're everywhere. Amen. Planes are crisscrossing our skies. If you want to take a look at an interesting thing, maybe download an app, FlightAware or something like that, and just look over above. I guarantee you right now, if you were to look on FlightAware, please don't do it right now. Don't pull your phone out right now and do it now. Do it later. Amen. But if you were to do that and look above, I bet there's 200 to 300 planes right now in the skies over our areas just crisscrossing. Absolutely amazing at any given time. And even through the night with all the freighters and all that, I mean, you zoom out on just the United States. There's so many planes flying around all the time just over our country. It covers the whole country as you zoom out and look at it as a nation. And this is happening all over the world. People are running here and running there, crisscrossing the world in airplanes, crisscrossing the world, at least our country, in cars, nations, as far as the waters would allow, and in boats. People are going and on the go all over the place. Absolutely amazing. People are running to and fro. But the Bible actually talks about this phrase and tells us some things about what it means to run to and fro. And we're going to look at those this morning. Look over at Job chapter number 7. What does the Bible describe when we start looking at this phrase, running to and fro? We're not even going to include the passages that talk about the eyes of the Lord run to and fro about the whole earth, looking for those that he can show himself strong in. Mentioned that on Friday night in the message there about pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it's a blessing to know that if you want to be a standout for God, you can be a standout for God in this day and age. You don't have to follow the whims and ways of this old earth and this world. If you're just like everybody else and lazy and complacent, and you don't study your Bible and you don't read your Bible and you don't witness, you don't stand out for God. But if you'll be different and you'll be faithful to the things of God. I mean beyond faithful. Faithful, you're running a race, amen. And if you'll be more faithful than anybody else you know, you're going to stand out. You're going to stand out to God, and God is going to actually invest in you with his power and his strength. But if you're just like everybody else, that ain't going to happen. Because the eyes of the Lord, they're running to and fro, and they're looking for someone that he might show himself strong in. You got to be a standout. Like Paul the Apostle was a standout. You got to be somebody like that, amen, who walks by faith and not by sight. Bible also talks about how the devil, he actually walks about. He's walking to and fro, and he's looking for people to devour. And we're not going to look at those texts. But know this, that them running to and fro, they're on a search. They're on a search for something. The Bible actually talks about you and I in reference to this phrase as well. In Job chapter number 7, what's a description here of running to and fro? We're going to find that it's a description of anxiety and trouble. Job chapter 7 and in verse number 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. Job is describing life, and he's noting here in reference to his life and how it's just vanity. He even had wished at one point that he hadn't even been born, all that he had endured. Oh, he didn't curse God with his lips, but he was really depressed about this time, and he was full of anxiety. The Bible talks about this to and fro, about being tossed to and fro, and it being a time of anxiety for him. Can I say, in reference to the day that we live in the day of anxiety. Everybody is, I say everybody in a general way, not that it means everybody in exactly, but there is an overall level of anxiety today that the medical community is happy to medicate. There is so much anxiety. People are fearful today. By the way, when knowledge increases, so does anxiety, right? Because we can get on our devices. We can scare ourselves to death, amen, by what we find on there, if you choose to do so. I would not recommend it, amen. You can get on there, and you'll find somebody that's going to have something that's really potentially believable that's just going to scare the daylights out of you, amen. And you can choose to go that route if you want. Like I mentioned earlier, if you want to get on there and start looking up about, oh, I got this ache and I got this pain and all that, you want to get up there and start looking at what you got. Oh, I'll just go ahead and tell you, you got it all. You got everything. You got everything wrong with you that you could have wrong with you, because somewhere, somehow, if you keep connecting those dots, you got everything, amen. You can do it. You can get on there. If you want to put yourself all over some social media site, you'll find out real quick that some of those friends you got, they don't mind saying some bad things about you. And they don't mind criticizing you. And they don't mind saying this and saying they really don't care about your feelings. Amen. They care about their feelings. Amen. And so the reality is that all this is available. And if you want to torture yourself with social media, buddy, you can do it today. You can. You can be so full of anxiety today that you'll be afraid to walk outside your house. You'll be afraid to take a bite of that processed food that you get from the grocery store. You're going to be afraid to do anything at all. You're going to be afraid to walk out and get in your car without some hat on. Amen. That might protect you from all the stuff that's out and about. I mean, it's all out there. There's so much anxiety in our day. Amen. That's available. It's almost like people are being tossed to and fro with anxiety and trouble. No stability. Here. I mean, it's like the devil's jerking people around at will today. I would have been faithful, but I would have witnessed, but I would have done right, but everybody's got a but. Amen. Because we are so full of anxiety today. That's one way the Bible talks about this. It also talks about to and fro as in no clear direction. Stay in Job, look at verse or chapter number 13. 13 and verse number 25. By the way, you don't have to be tossed to and fro with anxiety. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse number 25, Job 13. Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro, and wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? That description, I just want to pick up that description of a leaf. When you look at a leaf, and of course, we're past fall now, still a few leaves blowing around, but for a while there, they're blowing everywhere. And if you are in the woods, or if you're in an area like here where the wind just blows across that field, it's amazing how quick winds shift. Hunting this year, I really saw it more and more. Like, you'd be in a stand, I'm watching my app, and I'm like, man, the wind just changed. Man, it was blowing out of the north, and now it's like from the west. And then I'd be sitting, whoa, it just changed again. Now it's from the, that's bad, because that's working out in the favor of them deer, amen. You got to figure that out. You got to figure that wind out, amen. And then you get a thermal, it's not even based on the wind, but it's just, it moves leaves too. All I'm trying to say is that there's all kinds of forces at work in the wind area. If you watch leaves, they kind of go everywhere. There's no real direction to them. It's not like a leaf is blown and it's just a beeline. No, it's a little here, a little there, a little backwards, a little forwards. And in life, sometimes we end up operating with no direction. And I believe, as I look and I consider that in the just before the end, that many will run to and fro, I think there's a lot of people today operating with no clear direction. They don't even know what gender they are. How can you operate in a clear direction if you're even confused about, and I'm not trying to be mean, that's just where we're at. If you don't even know what gender you are, you're in trouble. Right? I mean, this is the day that we live. And all of this information, all of this falsity, all these competing things, all of this is going on. And what it's doing is it's causing people not to know which way to go. These thoughts about the Bible. How can I trust the Bible when it's just written by a bunch of men? Well, because the Bible says holy men of old spake because they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This isn't a book of man, this is a book of God. And if God's not big enough to preserve his word and use men to write it as he directed them, then how big of a God is he? You see, but people are hearing these things. Well, I just can't trust the Bible because a bunch of men wrote it. Have you ever studied that out? Or you just take it, if all we do, listen, we live in the soundbite day. And you got this little soundbite here, this little soundbite here, this little soundbite there, and people are being driven by these soundbites. And so now they don't even know what direction to go in life. That's a description of our day, being tossed to and fro, running to and fro, no clear direction in life. Look over at Proverbs 21 and verse number 6. Proverbs 21, verse number 6. So this running to and fro can be a description of the heightened anxiety and trouble that so many are dealing with today. It can also be a description of people that are operating with no clear direction in life. Most people don't have any foresight at all. Even in churches, the reason churches oftentimes struggle to grow is because the commitment level of its people is so short-sighted. They don't even know if they're going to be at church the next week, let alone what ministry they're going to help in. And that's a problem. It's a problem because it removes stability from a group that should be stable, right? And able to move forward on. And so this permeates. It's not just the world. It's everywhere. In a workplace environment and in society, it's just everywhere. But in Proverbs 21:6, it says, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity. It's an emptiness. It's a method, but it's empty. And it causes this to and fro-ness, this being tossed of them that are actually seeking death. By the way, they that hate me love death. This is a method of the world. This describes those that live in an empty means that are seeking advantage through vanity. Anybody here get any of those robocalls? Oh, this is the IRS, and I need to talk to you about your taxes. There's a problem with it. Anybody get any of those calls? Anybody get those calls about insurances? And I get calls about vacations and about you name it and all that. Dana every once in a while says, someone call me about this. I'm like, just forget that. Amen. Rarely is it ever anything. Amen. And if it is, there's legitimate ways to get a hold of us. People try calling, is your property at such and such and such? Can I buy that, please? No, you can't. Anyway, the point, all these calls are happening all the time. And then all these scams on the elderly. I mean, you would think that if you actually cared about people, you'd actually not want to abuse the least of our society, like babies in a womb, and you would not want to abuse the elderly of our society who have worked all their life and probably gave a lot to society and been a blessing across the years throughout work and all that. And what are we going to do? We're going to scam them for all their money and let them be destitute and without cash at the end of it. What? That is horrible. And that's what's going on today. You see, it's people seeking treasure through vain means that are running after death themselves. This is a description of what's going on in our day too. These get-rich-quick schemes. Except now, people are getting rich at these things. And they are robbing people blind, amen. And they don't care about what it leaves in the wake. It's a description of running to and fro. Look at Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24 and in verse number 20. And I hope no one in this room is a part of either of those groups, amen. Those taking advantage of the elderly or those that are buying into this pro-death crowd for the unborn. Isaiah 24 and verse number 20. We also find that it's a description of people that are intoxicated. In Isaiah 24, 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. It's using the analogy of a drunkard because when a drunkard walks, there's no straight line. It's just stumbling around. No real consistency in their walk. They're just trying to go forward, but they can't do it by a straight line. They're staggering, and the reeling to and fro. That's another description of one who is intoxicated. And can I say, in our day and age that we live, is that there's a lot of staggering going on in intoxication. Most people in our society are medicated on something. And I'm not trying to be mean, and maybe me in this room have prescription medications and all that, and if your doctor prescribed them, you go ahead and take them. But all I'm saying is this. This day and age that we live is the most medicated of any time frame in all of history. I went to my doctor a few years back. I think I was 53 at the time, and the nurse looked at me, and she goes, "And what meds are you on?" And I go, "I'm not on any meds." She looked at me, and she goes, "Wow." She goes, "A 53-year-old man not on medication. Wow, that's interesting." That's what she said. I'm not saying I'm anything great. Maybe at some point I'll be on handfuls. I don't know. All I'm saying is it says something when the nurse says, "What? You're not on anything?" That says something. That's all I'm saying. That we are very medicated. And not in an intoxicating fashion. But we're just medicated. The whole zombie apocalypse. Do you know the theory behind that? What that's all about? What the theory is that when the government takes away all the psych meds and locks it down, that all these people are going to be so zombified at that point that they're going to be going around doing whatever they can to get their meds. That's the theory of it. And I'm not saying it's true or not true. And all I'm saying is this is the day that we live. I'm just showing you the description of our age. If you were to go around to talk to people, the majority of people you would find are on something that does affect them. That's what you would find. Amen? And that's all I'm saying. And this is a description of the end times being moved to and fro. Look over at Amos chapter number 8. Amos chapter number 8. By the way, if you want a good laugh or cry, turn on your TV and watch those drug commercials. Amen. Oh my. If you'll just take this drug, you'll lose weight. But this drug may cause a hypertension, and this drug may cause high blood pressure, and this drug may cause your hair to fall out, and this drug may cause your teeth to fall out, and this drug may cause death. But it'll help you lose weight. What? I think I'll just go ahead and control what I put in instead. I don't know. I'm just saying. Man, it's crazy. And it's real fast. I can't even speak that fast. You're like, whoa, slow that down. Did you hear what that just said? No way. It'll clear your skin up. But you also may cause leprosy. Sorry. But I mean, it's just absolutely insane. Amen. Anyway, not trying to pick. Just trying to point out the obvious and the facts that we all see every day. Amen. Amos, chapter number 8. To and fro is also of a description of people that are looking for something. Remember I mentioned earlier, the Lord, his eyes are to and fro amongst the whole earth looking for someone he can show himself strong in. The devil's running to and fro looking for whom he may devour. They're looking for something. But the Bible talks about mankind at times looking for something. And in Amos 8, this is before the captivity, it says, and they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord. Watch this next phrase. And shall not find it. This is interesting. Now, this is a description of a time frame that was before the captivity. We're past that now. But what they were doing was this. When Israel got so far away from God that God finally said, that's it. I'm taking you out of the promised land. I'm putting you in captivity. It wasn't because they were seeking the word of the Lord in truth. It's that they were seeking God's word as they wanted it. And they were looking for truth in every false god. They were looking for it in the groves. They were looking for it through Baal. They were looking for it through Ra, the sun god. They were looking for it through the Phoenician gods. They were looking for it all over the place. Does that not describe the time that we live today? Everybody's religious today. Everybody claims to have some spirituality about them. How many people do you know that actually are interested in this book? The Word of God. Most people would rather, instead of reading the 66 books of this Bible, they'd rather go find the book of Enoch or something, right? The book of Jasher. Yeah. Let's look for that book. How about you first just devour the ones you got? You know, are it? Amen. I don't know about those. I don't know, but I know this is the Word of God. How about we just start here? I mean, I got enough material here for a lifetime. Amen. I haven't finished this part yet. Amen. I just want to know the truth. But a lot of people are looking for truth, and you're not going to find it with the Jehovah's Witnesses. You're not going to find it with the Mormons. They've rejected the Word of God. You're not going to find it in many popular religions. There's some Baptist churches you're not going to find it in because they've chose to major on things which are not the Word of God. I'm just saying where we find truth is it's the simplistic understanding of the Word of God. That's it. God didn't hide it from us. Why are we looking for it so hard if it's not hidden? If my keys are on the counter, I don't need to tear the house up to find them. I don't need to look. They're right there. And can I say, we don't need to go looking for the truth. You just need to open it and read it and stop looking elsewhere. You see, but a description of our age, I believe, is that many are running to and fro looking for the truth when it's right under their nose. He says, God says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. He's nigh us, close to us. He is not hid out someplace far away that he's unfindable. Amen. But most people aren't looking for the God of the Bible, nor the truth of the Bible. They're looking for a truth that fits their lifestyle, that fits what they want, you see. And so they're going to be searching till the cows come home and they're They don't even own any cows. Amen. And they're in trouble. Amen. And so this is a description of the time that I believe, as the Bible calls, is that end times tossed to and fro. Now turn over to Ephesians 6. Christ has come to settle us down. Amen. Christ has come to set us free from the anxiety of this life and the intoxication of this life. And a lot of people are intoxicated on entertainment. A lot of people are intoxicated on video games, movies, the TV, internet, intoxicated on those little just TikTok stuff, and YouTube, little shorts, just intoxicated, can't let go. A lot of people are intoxicated on a lot of things. Be better if you got addicted to the Word of God. Amen? That would be better. That would be a good addiction, as the Bible does refer to it that way. Addicted to like the house of Stephanus, who's addicted to the ministering of saints. Ephesians 4, though, I want you to see this, that in a time frame where everything is running to and fro and being tossed to and fro, God has given us the means to be settled down and not tossed to and fro. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, that was really nice. I didn't see anything in there about being tossed to and fro. Well, look at this next verse. The first word of verse 14 is that. That is an in order that, right? In other words, the word that there is showing us what will not happen if we apply the previous verses, right? He gave pastors and teachers, evangelists. He gave these offices for the perfecting of the saints. This is a church environment. He gave these so that the truth can be taught and that the body can edify itself together, that we can grow together, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every possibility, every wind of doctrine, to the sleight of men. That wind of doctrine, you could say, is like leaves, all these doctrines fluttering here, fluttering there, not sure which one to grab hold of. How about the one that lines up with the Word of God? Amen. By the sleight of men and by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You look at all those categories. You say, I just don't know who to trust in this day that I live. Well, I know what I can trust, amen, and it's called the Word of God, and I'm supposed to prove all things by it and hold fast that which is good. This is the mechanism that God has given us to settle us down. Not everything is possible in my life. God tells me what's possible and what is not possible. I should not live in the realm of anything is possible, amen. For me, because it's not. It is not true. Amen? And so God will settle me down if I will just tie into the local church. If I will just tap into the teachings and the scriptures themselves. If I'll just tap into that and I will let God be my God and stop searching for truth and rest in the truth. If I will just settle down in the truth of God with the people of God, it will keep me from being tossed to and fro, as this passage says, as a child is, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and carried about with the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness of men who seek to deceive me. It would blow our mind if we would see every week of our life how many people try to deceive us, try to get us to buy into something that's not good for us for their advantage. It would probably scare us. If we really saw how many people in society and the positions of these that really are trying to get us to buy into something that is not according to our best interest. But we're afraid to do that because, well, we want to think the best of people. You know who you should think the best of? God. Amen. And he has given you a book so that you can prove all things and then hold fast to that which is good. And if you'll do that for everything, it'll settle you down. And enable you to live a life without anxiety. Because I trust God. I can cast all my care on him because I know he cares for me. And he loves me. And he loves you. Amen. It goes on to say this in this text. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things. Do you see the comparison there? All these people trying to deceive us, lying in wait, all that. But in the church house, with the truth, this should be a place that we're able to speak the truth in love together and then grow up in all things unto him, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So you have all this craziness going on, but in our church, it ought to be, people that really do care for me, the people that really do just speak the truth to me and really do have my best interest in mind. We're just trying to help each other out, edify each other, and grow together in unity and seek God's truth together. That's really what this place should be. It should be a place that settles us down and gives us stability so that when we do go out there, we don't have to be tossed to and fro like a leaf. We can walk in that same pattern of straightness found in the Word of God. Lastly, if you would please, look over at 1 Corinthians 9. We are not called to run to and fro in search of something today. We already have it. We already have the truth, and it can make us free. Now we can run with direction and purpose. Started off talking in this text about being tossed to and fro. That's the whole thought of today and all that. But God wants us to be settled down because he has something for us to do. And we can't do it if we're scattered. We can't. And so what has he done? He's given us a mechanism to settle us down so he can give us direction. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 24, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" I mentioned this on Friday night. I have not been able to get away from this thought right here. Run all. I can't get away from it. That's running with purpose. That is running a course on purpose, with purpose, for purpose. It says, "They which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Everyone that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore, so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I believe in this new year, we want to reject the idea of being tossed to and fro with anything. In reference to all these things that were mentioned and connected biblically concerning being tossed to and fro. And I believe we should run with purpose, that we should run hard with purpose. In James chapter number 1, it says this in verse number 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and breedeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Man, that's a description of our world today. Total instability, which almost seems like a governmental plan, amen. Let's get everybody unstable so they have to trust us. I ain't trusting you, buddy. I'm going to trust Jesus. Like we told the governor long ago, We don't need another Savior. We already have one. Amen. Stop trying to save me. Jesus already did it. Amen. You see, that's where we live today. If you're tossed to and fro, the Bible says the answer is stop it. How? Ask God for wisdom. And he'll give you that wisdom so you'll no longer be tossed to and fro, and you'll no longer be deceived like with a sleight of men and cunning craftiness. You'll no longer be in that boat. You'll actually find stability now where God can begin to work in your life. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're not turning there. It's called the Hall of Faith for a reason. All these people in that text, amazing. All the things they did by faith. And can I say, I want you and I to be added to that hall of faith because we walked by faith and not by sight. And if we find ourselves walking by sight in this day that we live, we're going to be in that group that's tossed to and fro. But if we'll just simply walk by faith in the Word of God, we can have a straight path for our feet. We can have a straight course that we're running on. And we can run all in this day that we live, in this year that we've just been given to accomplish great things for the glory of God. My life verse now would be more, I would say, Nahum 1:7. But there was a while that I clung on to Ecclesiastes 9:10. And it says this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. If it's worthwhile, then do it. If it's worthwhile, run hard after it. Amen? Why? Because there's no work nor knowledge or device nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We're all going to die at some point. So while we have life and while we have direction and while we have God's word, while there is light still available, man, let's walk by that light and let's run all. It's not time to look back at past failures and say, man, I hate that all that happened. That may be true. It's time to look ahead and look on and see what God would have us to accomplish from this day forward for his glory till he comes. It is the last time. It's all going to be over soon. The merry-go-round is going to stop here real soon. Amen. But until it does, let us reject the thought of being tossed to and fro and deceived by all that's going on around us. And let us find stability in this book, in the truth of God's word. And let us find stability in our church that's been gifted to teach and preach the word of God. And let us come together and edify the body so that we can run all in this day that we live. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that today in the message thereof would not have been a hurt to anyone but a help. And that, God, that you would help us, Lord God, to reject the thought of being tossed to and fro, and that we would accept, God, what you want to give to us in your word so that we can be found faithful and so that we can tie into those things which are profitable from your perspective, that we can be settled down and not full of anxiety so that, God, that you can use us and you can pour into us in a magnificent way this year. Help us, God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads by eyes closed for a moment. The pianist is going to play.